The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Hey, would you pray with me? Jesus, you are present among us today. You came, you lived, you died, and you rose again. You ascended back to the right hand of the Father, and your Spirit now dwells within us, your people. You are present wherever we go. Whatever it is that we are doing, when we lie down and when we awake, you are there. You are with us, even now in this place, in this moment, on this day. You are here with us. Would you, in the next few moments, make us aware of that reality? Would you help us become aware of your resurrected presence and power today, in this moment, even right now? We pray these things. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. We pray, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. How we doing? It's Resurrection Sunday. How we doing? There we go. A couple months ago, my youngest daughter, Marley Hope, was going through some health challenges and couldn't really figure out what was going on. And after about three or four weeks of just her feeling completely miserable, no medication, no remedies really working, we took her to the doctor. And they ended up doing all these tests. And of course, her health insurance didn't cover any of that, the tests that they needed to do. All of these things are checking out for autoimmune disease and autoimmune issues, and they run the test, and nothing. Couldn't figure it out. So they send us home, still sick, still running a really high fever for consecutive days, and, you know, mom and dad are concerned, rightfully so, right? Can't shake it. We're at a loss. So it's like, okay, next move is we're just going to take her to the hospital. Like, nothing's working. It's a Tuesday. I'm at staff meeting, and I share it with the guys around the table and just mention like what we had been walking through with Mar. and at the end of that meeting, our teaching meeting on Tuesdays, one of the guys just said, "Hey, why don't we pray for the Lord to heal her?" So we did. And it was nothing profound other than the fact that we were calling on his name, which is pretty profound. It was about 5 minutes. There's a couple of us that prayed, and we said amen, and we went back to our agenda. And my phone goes off about 10 minutes later. And my wife texted me and said, "Hey, Marley's fever broke. And she's up dancing, begging to go back to school." At the beginning of 2022, some of our friends found out that they were pregnant. And about 4 months into the pregnancy, the doctors told them, "Your baby's probably not going to make it. It's very likely. Now, you'll likely go full term, but with the condition of the heart, they're probably not going to live." And we joined this family in pleading, begging the Lord, heal this child. Like so many others around Summit, we're praying and pleading for months. God, would you let the diagnosis from the doctors not be so? Would you heal this baby? And I'll never forget the call I received in November. And I remember Tris and I walking into the hospital room and seeing mom and dad holding their lifeless baby in their arms. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Miracles and tragedy. Healing for what appears to be maybe not worth mentioning, right? The simple, the ordinary. I mean, I think this is what we typically attribute to antibiotics or over-the-counter medicine. Finally kicked in, finally did its job. And then there's grief from wondering if God will come through. Is he able to come through? To unbearable pain and sorrow. God, how could you? Why would you allow this? It's into stories like these and a million and one others that we could give FaceTime to this morning that Jesus offers these words. I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to hang on to those words this morning because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus offers his name. It's a name that gives us faith to believe in the miraculous, that God can heal. It's a name that gives us comfort in the midst of our grief. It's a name that gives us comfort. It's a name that we call upon, sing about, pray to for God to bring revival and renewal in the hearts of his people. And it's a name that we cling to at deathbeds and funeral services. It's a name that brings us together on Resurrection Sunday and every other Sunday. And it's also a name that guides our steps each and every day. What's the relevance of this name? What's the power of the name that he offers here? I am the resurrection, and I am the life. On this day, right now, this moment, this season, this phase of your life, in between perhaps longing for miracles and healing, in between longing for his power to show up and the reality of grief that we often have to endure, why does Jesus offer us his name? I want to take just a moment with you, and I want to visit these questions from John chapter 11. To bring you up to speed, all throughout John's gospel, from chapter 1 through 11, he's doing miraculous things. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And John calls these miracles signs. That what Jesus is doing, the miracle itself, is a sign of a deeper reality of what Jesus is trying to convey. So he performs a miracle, and then he says this, I am the bread of life. He performs a miracle, and then he says, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. He performs a miracle and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus, through these signs is revealing his identity, his person. But why is he doing this? That's a critical question for us to ask this morning, because Jesus will not let these people, he will not let you or me simply receive him any way that we desire. He'll not let these folks within this context, this story that we are reading this morning, simply dismiss him as just another teacher. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to merely receive information about him. He wants us to receive the uniqueness of who he is, his person. And he says, I'm telling you who I am so that you might come to me, receive me, find rest in me, bank your life on me. You don't need information, you need me. You need me. Now, I want you to think about that reality for a moment as we look at this text together. That's a pretty bold claim. That if Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is who he is claiming to be, if he is the very essence of the name that he offers to his friends in this text, then he is absolutely everything we need. Everything. But if he's not resurrection, if he's not life, then he is a liar and a lunatic. But make no mistake about it, he's not anything in between. He's either everything or he's nothing. Jesus will not allow us to make him less than who he claims to be. And as you can imagine, for the religious leaders of the day, for the political leaders of the day, they do not like the claims of Jesus. As you can imagine, for those who are privy to what Jesus is doing and saying, and but yet they're still a little unsure of him, you can imagine they're unsettled by this claim, because Jesus is either everything or he's nothing. In between the plea for a miracle and the grieving of death, Jesus offers his name. And I think you and I should pay very close attention to that this morning. In John, he has been doing all types of ministry, and great things are happening. Miraculous things are happening. And word gets to Jesus at the end of John 10, coming into chapter 11. Word gets to Jesus that his really dear friend is sick. A really close friend of the family. He's dying. It's a close friend, it's a close individual, because the text tells us that Jesus loves Lazarus, Jesus loves Mary, Jesus loves Martha. And the word gets to him, hey, please come and help. Lazarus is sick, please come and heal him. Jesus doesn't go right away. No, what we discover in the text is that he stays to finish the ministry that he started. And it appears, because Jesus delays and he stays focused on the ministry, that Lazarus dies as a result. So, 2-day journey to where he's going, he waited 2 days. 4 days later, he shows up. Lazarus is dead, and you can imagine Jesus shows up, and there's a wealth of emotion. Lots of tension. And Martha says what I think everybody in this room would say. What took you so long? Like, why didn't you come right? Word came to you. We told you that he was sick. Had you been here, this would not have happened. And Jesus' response, your brother's going to rise again. Again, I think Martha's response is very relatable to many of us in the room. She says, I know that he will rise again on the last day. Now, I want you to hang on to this. Martha says, I know what you're going to do, what you're capable of doing in the future. And I want you to listen again how Jesus responds. Look at verse 25 with me. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Shall never die. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha for what she says. I know that he will rise again on the last day, she says. I want to make clear, Jesus is not trying to take that promise from Martha. In fact, that promise is monumental for Martha. Do you know who that promise is also monumental for? Every one of you in this room. Our friends that we stood around that bedside in that hospital room on day. You know who that promise is monumental for? That mom and dad. I know what you can do in the future. I know it. She needed that promise. You and I need that promise. Her faith is accurate, but it's incomplete. So what is Jesus doing here with, in the midst of this grief, in the midst of this plea, in the midst of this emotion, he goes, I want you to know who I am. Jesus is reorienting Martha's perception of who she thinks he is and what she thinks he should do. She has a framework for resurrection in the future, but she does not have one for this present moment. She has a framework for resurrection as physical, but she doesn't have one for spiritual. In her mind, she's thinking about life simply as the physical control of a beating organ, and Jesus is wanting to expand her limited view of him and on life. You go, well, how do you know that, Terry? Well, I want you to go back up a few verses with me, and I want us to look at verse 14 together. Now, if you have not read this story, this one's a real kicker. Verse 14. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For your faith. In other words, what I'm doing, Martha, is for you. And listen, I'm not going to deny how weighty this is. The inner workings of this moment is about your faith. That's what he's telling them. I'm glad I wasn't there with you in that moment. I'm glad I wasn't there when it appeared as though he was dying and he died. The inner workings of this moment is about your faith. So whether it's sadness or pain or grief or heartache or death or even the potential joy and celebration at what God might do, everything, Jesus is saying, everything that's going on in this moment is going to forever shape your faith. And this is why Jesus responds to Martha's limited faith by giving her his name. Because there's something in his name that Martha has yet to discover. Are you guys tracking with me so far? We good? There's something about his name that Martha has not come to fully grasp and believe yet. There's something about him that she's not yet fully experienced. And that is what Jesus is wanting to expand within Martha's and Mary's heart. Martha, I want you to know, I am the resurrection now. And I'm not talking about Lazarus. I'm talking about you. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm also talking about spiritual. See, I think we most often think about resurrection and life when we're praying for miracles. Or when miracles don't happen and we find ourselves grieving. Make no mistake about it this morning. God cares immensely about the sickness of an 8-year-old little girl, and he has the power to do something about it. Amen? He has the power to heal babies in the womb, and when he chooses not to do it that way, and I don't understand why he does it that way. When he chooses not to do it that way, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have the power. It doesn't mean that he won't make that right. He will heal either on this day or that day. But there's another kind of resurrection in life that Jesus is interested in this moment, and Martha has no context for it, but he is going to make sure she does. Martha, I am resurrection now. I am life. I'm life abundantly. I am life to the full. And I'm talking about right now, Martha. I am life today. Jesus holds the keys to life and death. And I don't think most of us in the room would disagree with that notion. Martha believes that. She's already affirmed that. But Jesus doesn't think Martha fully understands the implications of this. And I think we are on the same page. So if I could sum up what Jesus is saying to Martha in his name, and what I think he's saying to every one of us in this room today, here's my best attempt. Jesus is bringing all of life to all of death. Even right now. I want you to pay attention to that statement. Jesus is bringing all of life, fullness of life, all the way down to every implication of death. And not just on that day, but even right now. Martha, you're right. I'm going to resurrect Lazarus on that day. In fact, I'm even going to do it right now. Just so you can catch another glimpse of who I am. But the raising of Lazarus, even though I'm sure it's going to do something within Lazarus, but guess what? Lazarus is going to have to die twice. Who wants that? You see, Martha, I want you to pay attention. As awestruck as you will be at Lazarus walking out of that tomb in just a moment, here's what you need to know. That same power is also presently at work resurrecting your broken heart. It is also currently closing the gap on your limited faith. It is also currently knitting back together every single place within your divided soul. Jesus Christ is bringing all of life to all of death, even right now. Even right now. So anywhere we are experiencing the effects of sin and death, he desires to bring resurrection life. Life to the full. Life as the one who gave it intended for it to be. Jesus does not offer resurrection life just so you and I can just simply manage and kind of just exist and navigate our way through life. He's bringing resurrection life now so that we can live into the kind of life that only He provides. And He tells us in the text how He intends to do it. I think we get so awestruck by the raising of Lazarus, which is, we should, that we miss the beauty of the fullness of His resurrection and the fullness of His life. He says two things in 25 and 26 that I want to point out. He tells Martha how He intends to bring all of life to all of death. Number one, death is the pathway to life. Look back at verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now, this is not an easy promise to cling to. And you don't need me to tell you that. Jesus is telling Martha that the way to life, the way we obtain the abundant life, is not by clinging to life, but rather by laying it down. Surrendering our life into His capable hands. The one who loses his life, I'm getting ready to read this text to you, is the one who will save his life. So for every longing that is within us today, for our soul to be at peace, the longing within us for meaning and fulfillment and purpose, for acceptance, according to Jesus, the only way we find it is by dying to self and entrusting ourselves to the one who is bringing all of life to all of death. This is how he says it in the next chapter. Chapter 12, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Here's his point. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The more you and I attempt to make this life about us, the more we strive to make our own way, the more we experience anxiety, worry, and fear. Everything that is the effect of death. And Jesus is telling us, the invitation to us into His resurrection and life is death is the doorway. Die and live. Surrender and live. Let me resurrect every place of death within you, and I'll lead you to life. That's the first promise. Death is the pathway to life. Number two, death is fleeting and life is eternal. Look at verse 26. So, whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Or let me back up. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone, verse 26, who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus is telling Martha, if your life is hidden in me, then my life, Martha, my life in you, it conquers death. What do we often say when someone loses their life or someone faces something tragic? We often make a statement like this: life is so fragile. Life is just, it's so fragile. Well, Jesus doesn't agree with that. Death is fragile. That's his point. The life that he offers, it is sure, it is solid, it is secure, it'll never fade. He says a little bit earlier in John chapter 8, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, they will never see death. How many of you believe that? They will never see death. I think Martha is being drawn in to the reality of who Jesus is. Martha, do you know who I am? Open your eyes to reality. Martha, I am resurrection. I am life. And I am present with you right now. And I'll resurrect your life now and forever. Death for life now, death for life forever. That's what Jesus offers. Why is that what he offers? This is really critical to the final question. Because he makes a statement, reveals his name, he gives two promises, and then he asks her a question. This is very critical to the question that Jesus is going to ask Martha. Why does he offer death for life? Because that's who he is. And so he looks right at her and says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I want to invite, just close your Bibles. I want to talk to you for just a moment. And I want you to think about that question with me. Do you believe this? Not do you believe in heaven? That's not the question. Not do you think I'm going to raise all of those who have died on the last day? It's not what he's asking her. Not do you believe that you are a good woman? You're a good, righteous person. It's not what he's asking. He's not even asking, do you believe that I have that's not even, here's the question. Do you believe right now? Do you believe right now that I am resurrecting you? I am bringing resurrection to you, in you, through you. Do you believe that he is bringing life to every part of death within you, even now? That's the question. He's not asking a question of historic fact of the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. He's not asking, do you believe that? He's asking a question of personal intimacy. He's asking a question of surrender. He's asking the question, death for life. The reason why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, is because he is bringing all of life to all of death. Do you believe this? That's the question. I'm going to invite Doug back, and we're just going to have a time of response, and I want to invite you to sit with this question for a moment. And I want to invite you to be honest with yourself and the Lord about something that the enemy doesn't want you to be honest about. In fact, the moment I invite you into this contemplation, the enemy is going to start speaking. Here's what I want you to think about. Where is death at work within you today? Where is it at work? And you're going to have to think about that. You're going to have to invite the Spirit of God to say, show me. Or maybe not. Maybe it's going to be very evident. Where is the stench of death at work in me? In my mind, my thought life. Where is it at in the recesses of my heart? What about our marriages, for those of you that are married this morning? Where are the implications of everything opposite of resurrection in life? Do I see the effects of the curse? Relationships, friendships, parenting, marriage, work, career. In the depth of your soul, where is death at work? And the reason why I want you to identify that today, the reason why I want you to name those places and to name those things, is because the resurrected Jesus is still standing in front of every one of you, and he's still saying this: I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, Jesus, I know what you're going to do. No. I'm so thankful for that promise. But brothers and sisters, our faith isn't just future. You should say amen to that. It's not just about a future day. Life may be crummy for you today, but it does not have to be within the recesses of your soul if resurrection and life meets you. If you invite the resurrected Jesus to bring resurrection life to what is dead within you, he'll work a miracle. He'll change you. He'll heal you. He'll restore you. And I have to believe that for some of us, we're just not aware. We're not aware of the stench of death in our life, in our heart, in our relationships, and we're not asking him. We're not asking the resurrected Jesus to bring life now because we think it's just some distant thing out in the future. And he is calling out to us today. I'm resurrection now. I'm life now. Where is the sting of death at work within you? Hand it over to me and let me breathe life on it. Who doesn't want that? I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to sing a few more songs together. Man, I don't know what you brought into the room today. Don't let the enemy snatch the sacred moment of his spirit, his word in the midst of God's people to do a work in you today. I know you got lunch plans. I know you're going to do some Easter stuff. Praise God for all of that. Let's just take the next about 15 minutes. And let's just, in response to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, let's just be honest with ourselves, with him. Where do we need resurrection in life today? Now. And invite him to come and bring it. Father, I pray for my friends. I pray for my own heart. Would you make us aware of where the stench of death is presently at work within us and around us? Make us aware. Help us to name it. And then help us to release it back to you so that we might receive you as you are. Resurrection in life. May it be so.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.